Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Evening all and welcome to Tapes Up, each Monday spotlighting the Scottish Speedway scene, keeping across the news and talking points, of which there are plenty, of Glasgow Tigers, Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits. I'm Derek Smith, race ready once again and very much looking forward to more Speedway chat tonight. Thanks as ever for your social media comments on last week's show and to George Martin for his company, available to download on podcast if you've missed it. To tonight then, rejoining me in the Tapes Up studio is the far from perfectly formed Gary Tate Esquire. Good evening.
Evening, Derek. Your insults are getting worse by every time you appear. I'm going to have to ask for an increase in salary, I think.
I don't take it to heart, Gary. A washed out weekend of Speedway, or little Speedway, Gary. How on earth are we going to fill the next 50 minutes? There wasn't much race action to be talking about.
No, not much race action, but there are other things that have come out over the last couple of days that are worth a chat about. We'll cover these off later in the show.
Just in the nick of time. Okay then, despite the rain-soaked tracks, we have come up with yet another busy show tonight. Let's cover off what we can look forward to. We will be addressing the impact that August weather has had on this weekend's fixture schedule north of the border and the headaches it's left behind. We hear from Glasgow new boy Sam Jensen and from Berwick team manager Gary Flint and track curator Ian Ray. We also look back to yesterday as Edinburgh made the trip to tackle Sheffield in South Yorkshire. We'll hear the thoughts of Sam Masters. We will, absolutely, we promise, take our first keen look at the current league standings and playoff prospects. We'll discuss the Speedway Control Board ruling announced yesterday on the recent Eastbourne versus Glasgow fracas. And, of course, we will also take a look ahead to all this week's action. That's all to come. Let's get into position, Gary. Play along now. Clutch in, throttle on, tapes up. Straight face. Let's kick off then with a look back to Friday night. I much look forward to double dose of championship Speedway was washed away, thankfully with the early call-offs in each case, as the predicted heavy rain during Friday materialised and rendered both Armadale and Ashfield circuits as non-raceable. Gary, no real surprise given the amount of rain that fell in the second half of last week.
No, not at all. I think the way Friday panned out, I think, you know, the way that the rain did come in, the way that came in, it allowed the early call-offs, which is beneficial really for fans, riders and alike. So, right decision, I think.
The right decision. There were spells of sunshine even on Friday, but supporters of Glasgow and Edinburgh respectively, and of Berwick, could otherwise replan their Friday in plenty of time on Friday, you know what I'm trying to say. Gary, we're now into the cannot afford any more rain-offs territory though, aren't we? And there isn't much, if any at all, wiggle room left in the respective fixture calendars of the Scottish sides or of any sides in the Championship.
I agree. I mean, I know certainly from a Berwick perspective, because, you know, as I focus on their fixtures, you know, the schedule was very much a back-end heavy schedule from August, September, so no real free dates. So can't afford any more. We need to try and squeeze this one in from Saturday past.
So talking about squeezing in, Glasgow, I think, are still to squeeze in, or officially confirm at least, the reschedules of both washed out fixtures in recent weeks against Newcastle and Berwick respectively. Edinburgh moved very quickly indeed to reschedule the visit of Sheffield, which will now take place at Armadale on Friday the 13th of September. Their previously rained off home fixture against Somerset has already been rescheduled. That will be the week before on Friday the 6th of September. And Berwick Bandits still to reschedule the washout on Saturday. So Glasgow still to revisit Shieldfield Park, Gary. Likely to be, although still to be confirmed, Saturday the 14th of September. Just in time for that playoff cut-off curtain to fall down.
Yeah, that's really the only real opening slot, I think, that's there. Just need to get it squeezed in before mid-September.
We will look more later in the show at the size of the ask for some clubs as they look to put together a telling run of results, which, with a target of yet securing a playoff place come mid-September. Suffice to say, though, Gary, that we're very much now in that must-win territory. The clock's running down, and for some, for the majority, in fact, of the Championship sides, the 2019 season is fast coming to a close.
It is, and we will cover off the playoff places, you know, later. I mean, there are the four or five clubs that are in that place just now, you know, fighting for that, but those at the bottom of the table You know, it could be, you know, pretty early finish. I mean, I know from my club, Berwick's perspective, we really need to win them all, I think, you know, to get anywhere near that. But, you know, yep, must win.
Must win. Well, listen, had Friday night gone ahead in Glasgow, the club would have given a debut to latest signing Danish youngster Sam Jensen, the latest rider in the new-look Tiger side. I did manage to speak with Sam about becoming a Glasgow rider.
It has been a long journey to get here, and I'm looking very forward to have my first time on the track and the Ashfield Stadium. So, yeah, it's a shame it was so much raining this night, but that's how it is.
You've had a chance, of course, to have a look around the stadium. You can see the track. What's your first impressions of the Glasgow circuit?
Yeah, I like the track, and I like the banking. I can see the track have quite a lot of banking in both corners, and that looks very nice, and they have a very nice main area here. So, yeah, I like the place so far.
And of course, you know, Glasgow's big signing this week. We've brought you in at this critical stage of the season. So you're arriving to make your debut here for the Tigers, and you know already that it's the business end of the season with the Tigers qualifying for the play-off. You know Klaus Wissing, you know Rasmus Jensen very well, and Mikko B. Andersen. Yeah. What have they told you about racing here for the Tigers and in Britain?
They told me it's a very great great team and great people around the track, and I'll have a good time here, and they will support us a lot, and a lot of great fans here.
And tomorrow night, fingers crossed, tomorrow the weather improves, and therefore your debut would be at Sheffield Park in Berwick, yep. Racing for Glasgow there. And Berwick's a track you've had a look at on YouTube, probably, so you have an idea, yeah, of what to expect there.
Yeah, I have a little idea what it looks like and how the track is, so I can talk with the other guys and hear what they normally do when they're there, so I hope to get a good time there.
And you've met some of your teammates already, you know them already. You met the Fasena family and Cammy Brown, your new team manager, earlier today, and what have they told you about their expectations of you for this season?
They want the best of me, and I want to do the best I can, and let's see how that goes.
And a quick message for the Glasgow fans?
Well, thanks a lot for all the support, and I'll be happy to see them all on the track.
A harsh reality of Scottish Speedway for young Sam, a 25-hour road trip to get to Glasgow, and two washouts in 24 hours, Gary.
Yeah, I'm glad it was him and not me that was doing that travelling, because it just must be so frustrating. I mean, I think the plan was to give him some track time at Ashfield in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, meeting at night, and Saturday. That would have been quite a baptism of fire, but to come all that way and not even turn a wheel.
To not even get the practice is,
yeah,
it must be a blow for the rider and for the club, because Glasgow now look forward to hosting Sheffield this Friday night, and we'll talk about that later, given the circumstances around that too, but perhaps even more pressure on Sam having to hit the ground running on Friday.
Absolutely, absolutely.
More on that later. So, despite another poor weather forecast the next day, getting to see some speedway at Sheffield Park on Saturday night looked to be on the cards as the overhead clouds kept on passing by. Encouraged by the dry weather, supporters of both Glasgow and Berwick set off with everything crossed that they would get to see some track action. Gary, until around 6:50, I understand, on Saturday night, everything looked set.
Yeah, arrived at Sheffield about 6:30, 6:35. Hear the wet bikes warming in the background. Paid money, walked in. I thought the track looked pretty good. You know, I thought, you know, it's looking well for the weather that had you know, been experienced during the week. 10-7. It was as if somebody just flicked a switch. You know, rain coming down vertically, very, very heavy. You know, there were streams down the side of the football pitch, you know, heading to the drains. You could see it was just going to, you know, if it was maybe a few minutes, it's fine. 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
As quick as it came, it went. Mm-hmm. But damage was done.
And you're very cruel indeed for everyone, you know, so close to start time and, you know, everything geared up to getting underway at 7 p.m. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. We've talked about the advantages, disadvantages of early call-offs versus late call-offs, and perhaps, I think we concluded that there's perhaps, you know, neither is necessarily the right way to go. You want to give every meeting every chance of running, of course, particularly at this time of year. We were up against it time-wise, and the bandits, of course, desperate to keep the points piling in.
Definitely. And as I was saying before, the fixture list for Berwick is, you know, heavy at the back end of the season here. And one thing we've got to remember is, you know, the decisions can't be taken lightly because, you know, having people in the stadium, the riders, then bikes warming up, ready to go, you know, it costs the promotion money to do that. And it's such a shame that that is the case, but that's the reality of the sport, unfortunately. So not good at all, really.
I guess once you commit, you really got to commit, Gary. Disappointment then all round at the enforced call-off on Saturday night. Here's Gary now getting the thoughts of Bandits team manager Gary Flint.
You couldn't script it, really, could you? Obviously disappointing. I don't really know what to say about it. It was just one of them, wasn't it? I don't know. It was like somebody turned the tap on, and as soon as we decided to cancel it, they turned the tap off, but the damage was done. So here we go.
So that's, you know, we lost the Glasgow match at Ashfield last night. We've lost this one tonight. I think looking at the side that Glasgow put together, obviously two recent signings, I think if we'd been at Glasgow last night, we'd had a good chance to get a result there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the boys know what they've got to do now. I think we've got 9 meetings or 10 meetings again now, and we need to win 9 of them. So yeah, we know our job. It looks like we're going to have a pretty busy end to August now, into early September. So it's just knuckle down and go and get a job done, hopefully.
Yeah, we can't control the weather. That's an unfortunate thing. But Eastbourne next week, obviously, must win.
Yeah.
Like to think we can do that.
Oh, definitely. They're very strong side at home and quite similar to us. They're not really doing much away. So I suppose the bonus to tonight being cancelled is Alfie hasn't had any practice. I mean, we brush ourselves off from tonight, try and get this track dried out a bit and crack on Saturday. So yeah,
absolutely. So Liam will be back next week.
He will, yeah.
You can just tell, can't you, Gary, at the tone of Gary Flint's voice when you spoke to him on Saturday night. You know, absolutely gutted on behalf of the club, and it wouldn't be lost on him that, you know, time's running out and the pressure's piling on Berwick to start winning the remaining meetings that they've got.
Yeah, definitely. And I've only seen Gary in a similar kind of, you know, demeanour. And that was when Edinburgh were there, you know, were in the same position.
Yeah, I remember.
They promoted that meeting to pieces, £10 adult.
Mm-hmm.
Huge crowd, 10 minutes before the start, heavens opened, meeting cancelled. Just the same thing. But yes, you could hear in his voice, very disappointing.
It was very cruel the way things unravelled on Saturday night, the timing of it. Well, I suspect if there was one man who could well have been even more disappointed than Gary Flint on Saturday night, it will have been Berwick track curator Ian Ray. Sit back now, folks, and listen and understand exactly why. Here is Ian speaking with our Gary.
Absolutely gutted. There's such a lot of work goes into it. Although today we haven't done anything really because we had a lot of very heavy rain yesterday and through the night. So deliberately kept off the track today in the hope that we didn't get rain. The forecast was for rain of between 1 and 2, which we didn't get. After that it was to be clear, so we thought, oh, cracked it. Then the forecast changed about 6 o'clock and we were due rain at 8:30. And unfortunately it came at 10 to 7 and ruined the night. But absolutely gutted. It's just so, you know, when everybody's in the stadium, it's hard on everybody, especially the promotion, who lose quite a lot of money, you know.
And in terms of, for those of us that don't know, like the ins and outs of track duration, I mean, give us a typical Saturday. How many hours do you spend gearing up to 7 o'clock on a Saturday night to prepare the track normally?
Where do I start? Well, Saturday morning, I'm usually in here 6 o'clock in the morning. Start putting water on. On a normal weather week, and just as and when it needs it throughout the day. You never ever get 2 weeks the same, regardless what anybody says. It's always different. A wee bit of cloud cover makes a huge difference. You don't need to water quite so much, it stays there. You get a little bit of wind or a lot of wind, that can change it. The tide comes in here at Berwick. We're a coastal club, and that can affect you big time. As the tide comes in, it carries dampness with it. And if you've had sunshine, the sun disappears, the tide comes in at the same time, and you've just watered, you finish up with just a bit too much there, and you pray that the sun will come out again. That's very, very difficult. But generally, it's nearly all day. And then after the meeting at night, I usually start 9:30, start to pull the track in again, spend about an hour there and spread it, and then I come back in Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoon, and it's 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday. Back in Tuesday night, we'll wash the fence. That's a couple of hours job. We've got a good few volunteers that come and help us doing that. Wednesday night, Thursday night, I'll begin doing the track or maintenance on equipment. And then Friday night, we start watering again for the Saturday meeting. So it's basically every day of the week. I have a couple of nights off, but that's just about it.
A lot of work involved then.
And that's on top of a full-time job as well. You know, I'm doing like 50 hours a week of work. And that's on top of that, you know.
So it's fair to say nights like tonight are pretty frustrating.
Aye, to say the least.
A very interesting interview, Gary. Thanks for speaking to Ian on our behalf on Saturday night. And, you know, it's just given an additional appreciation of the sheer time and effort that track creators around the country, not least of all in Berwick, put into prepping a speedway track every single week of the speedway season.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just one day or 2 days. You know, it's maybe 5 days of the week that something needs to be done. I think that really the thing that really got me was the different conditions you need to think about because of Berwick being a coastal club, the tides, you know, the cloud cover, you know, how sunny it is, you know, is there any rain due? I mean, I think it's just as complicated as setting up a speedway bike for a slick or a grippy track kind of thing, you know. So it was quite interesting.
So it certainly makes you think about the prep behind staging a speedway meeting. Glasgow and Berwick will have to do all again over the course of the next week, or next month or so, I should say, and certainly before that playoff curtain falls on this season. Incidentally, Gary, do you want to congratulate Birmingham on winning against Eastbourne the other night, which allowed the Brummies to leap off the bottom of the league, leaving a certain Borders club on the basement?
Well, you've got to look at the matches ridden at home, Derek. You know, we've only ridden 4, they've ridden 7, so I'm sure we'll be able to leapfrog them again. Congratulate them.
Let's move on through
gritted teeth.
Well done, Gary, well done. Okay, on to yesterday then, and to Sheffield's Ullerton Stadium for the vital league encounters between the hometown Tigers and Edinburgh Monarchs. Gary, in recent weeks we have regularly suggested that with the top four that Edinburgh now have at their disposal, albeit Cameron Heaps sat out yesterday's meeting and Ben Barker guested for the Monarchs, but they really ought to now be travelling in confidence and being confident about taking league points from the remaining fixtures.
Yes, you know, we've covered off, and I think, you know, George covered off the same thing last week as well, was where Sam Masters comes in. I mean, you've got, for Edinburgh, big hitting number one. It does make the tail slightly longer, but obviously James Sargent, he seems to be picking up his form a little bit, so I don't see why Edinburgh can't start to pick up a few more points on the road, before now and the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, just to try and add some science behind it, you know, it seems to me that Edinburgh's structure, the team structure now, isn't far removed from Somerset and Glasgow, to name two other clubs, and those two clubs aren't doing too badly away from home. They're doing exactly what I'm suggesting Edinburgh ought to be capable of.
Yeah, there is a similar look to that. Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, compared to what they started the season with. Yeah.
So an interesting looking battle between those sides before tapes up yesterday, and both really now, Gary, need to get a shift on if either of them are to make a compelling case for qualifying yet for the playoffs this season. You know, must win really much, so really now comes into the vocabulary.
Yes, Sheffield are sitting in, you know, further up the table than Edinburgh at the minute. But, you know, I think they both need to start performing away. If they can start picking up the points away, then they'll start to climb up that table a bit. But again, as you say, we're into August, you know, close to mid-August. We've got about a month to go. It's really a case of, you know, smashing it, I guess.
Listen, we're making these comments with full knowledge of what the final score was yesterday, and I can now confirm it was Sheffield Tigers 49, Edinburgh Monarchs 41. The Monarchs just missing out on what would be, or what would have been, a vital away point yesterday in South Yorkshire. For the Sheffield Tigers, Danny King top scored on 11 points. Justin Sedgman, clearly with a point to prove against the Monarchs, 10 points from 5 rides. Zane Kennedy, 10 points from reserve. And Todd Kurtz, new boy for the Sheffield Tigers, 9 points. For Edinburgh Monarchs, a hugely impressive display. You've got to say, no other rider in the world could have bettered Sam Masters yesterday. 18-point maximum from six rides, including a tactical substitute outing. Josh Pickering, 8 points. Ben Barker, 6. And William Lawson, a notable performance. He won Heat 2, scored 4 points for the Monarchs. Ricky Wells, though, only 2 points for Edinburgh yesterday, Gary. And Ricky's form appears to have picked up in recent weeks, certainly around Armadale. And Sheffield's normally a circuit that Ricky excels on.
Yes, very surprised to see Ricky with 2 points against his name. So, there may be a good reason for it. But, yeah, it's not a score you see, very, very regularly against Ricky Wells' name in the programme.
And Monarchs were in contention yesterday. Sam Masters, of course, chipping in 6 heat wins out of a total of 8 for the Monarchs yesterday. Very much single-handedly kept them in contention throughout. In the end, though, a last heat decider went the Sheffield Tigers' way, or sufficiently in their way, to ensure that they took all 3 points yesterday. An absolute standout performance, though, by Monarchs number one, Sam Masters. Here he is now in conversation with Graham Munsey, straight after Heat 15.
There's not much more I could do myself, but we all tried, man. I was watching, everyone was trying their hardest, and a bit of bad luck as well. I think we would have probably got a point if Ricky didn't break a chain, which is unfortunate. And two races were restarted when we were both on 5-1, so... Yeah, a little bit crap, but anyway, so it is.
You mentioned something else. Three races restarted with the Monarchs on advantage, couldn't push it. Ricky breaks a chain, so another night could have been there. It looked a bit tough out there. I mean, even the home guys were struggling. Kyle Howarth was kind of all over the place, a little bit early doors. Didn't look easy.
Yeah, the track was actually really hard work, to be honest. I come in with sore arms every race, but it wasn't super fun, but I got 18. I can't really complain, can I? But I would have been way better if we at least got a couple of points out of it.
And it just puts a lot of pressure onto that trip to Somerset on Wednesday. We really need to win there now for the playoff.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be going for it, that's for sure. So bring it on.
And I've spoken to you a few times. I keep saying you need to keep winning these heats. That's 20 races out of 21 you won. Just need to keep that going.
Bloody 1 point, eh? Yeah, I know. It's feel really good on the bike, to be honest, man. And I'm really enjoying it, enjoying being back at Edinburgh as well, which is nice. So hopefully I can keep it going, but I want to really make the playoffs with Edinburgh.
Sam there, Gary, reflecting on some tricky conditions at Sheffield. Sam said he didn't particularly enjoy the experience, despite an 18-point maximum. And I guess Sam must feel frustrated because he didn't get the backup yesterday that he needed and the Monarchs needed, and oh so close to getting some points from Sheffield.
Yeah, I think just going back to the track, I think with Owlerton being such a big, fast track, if it is inconsistent, then you can understand why they're a bit riders are maybe a bit more wary of it, than normal. But yeah, I can understand, Sam being frustrated. I mean, no disrespect to Ben Barker, because Ben tries his heart out for anybody that he rides for, whether it's guesting or the club. But I kind of sense that if Cam Heaps had been riding for Edinburgh, they may have certainly got a lot, a point, if not more, from Arlington. But, Cam wasn't there. He went with the team, and unfortunately, they just came up short.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. Cameron Heaps could have made a world of difference to the Monarchs yesterday, but it's another one going for them on the road, and the pressure mounts. And we will talk about that much more in the second half of the show. Time here for a breather in the studio. I can sure you can tell that we need it. When we come back, we will also discuss the Speedway Control Board ruling on the recent Eastbourne versus Glasgow battle, take a more focused look at the current league standings and associated playoff prospects, and look ahead to another big week for the Scottish sides. Back in two.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
You are listening to Tapes Up on air each Monday night here on Rock Sport Radio. You can listen again to tonight's show and hear if we really did say that, and play back each show as the season progresses via podcast, accessible from the Rock Sport website, else from your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. OK, we'll come to this week's fixture previews shortly. Let us first, though, ensure that we have a look tonight at the current standings. This all calculated up until the end of Sunday night, last night, and pick out just some of the run-ins to look at. Let's focus, Gary, on the Scottish sides first and foremost, of course. Current standing sees Glasgow second place in the Championship currently on plus 17. So 17 points gained away from home over any home points lost, if that's not too complicated. 12 matches completed, 8 left, 4 at home and 4 away. The 4 away meetings, 2 come this weekend, in fact. Glasgow visit Leicester, Sheffield and thereafter Redcar and Berwick. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Glasgow's had a great season so far. The meetings that they've got away from home, I think, are fairly tough. Certainly Leicester, Sheffield, Redcar and Berwick, as you say. I think, you know, if you can get anything from those meetings, then you'll be doing okay.
This weekend's fixtures, we're going to do the proper previews after this segment, but they've been made all the more difficult, and you know, we'll shed some more light and talk about that just shortly. Leicester, who are now on top of the Championship again, they're in plus 12, so they've gained far fewer points away from home than they've given up at home. In fact, they're unbeaten at home, but their two remaining away fixtures are at Birmingham and Scunthorpe. And I'm quite sure Stuart Dixon will be targeting away wins at both of those, which could yet trouble Glasgow's superior plus 17 at the moment. So go back to Glasgow. I still think Glasgow have got a job to do away from home yet.
I think you do. And, you know, you've alluded to what we're going to talk about shortly. But obviously, you've brought in the two new Danes as well. You know, Mikkel B. Anderson and Sam Jensen. Now, Mikkel's had one meeting so far. Sam's had none. So it's going to take him time to find his feet. So I agree. I think, you know, Leicester potentially could be in the box seat to finish top of the pile. But again, the key here, though, is how you're performing in the playoffs, not necessarily where you finish in the league table.
This is true. So other than having first pick, which is why I guess Glasgow and Leicester will want to finish top. But I think in terms of playoff qualification, I'm quite relaxed. I'm sleeping well at night. I think Tigers are absolutely there. And at the start of the season, I would have settled for that, as would all Glasgow fans.
Yeah, I think it's job done in terms of qualification for the playoffs.
Let's look at the Monarchs now. So the Monarchs defeat yesterday on the road at Owlerton, of course. No points picked up. That leaves them on minus 2 currently. 1 point to date gained away at Leicester. And, of course, they lost to Tigers at Armadale this season. So minus 2 is their current tally. They've got 8 meetings left, Gary. 5 at home, and we've got to assume that they're going to win all of those. And 3 meetings away from Armadale at Somerset this week. And they've got to also go to Berwick and to Newcastle.
Yes, I would agree. I think Edinburgh will win all their home meetings. The key, again, is what they do away. I mean, even if they do pick up points in the road or win, you know, 2 of the 3, I just feel they're maybe just going to fall short of their target. And again, I think it comes down to the home defeat that they've had, which is a similar position to Berwick's in just now. I think if you'd win all your home games and matches and then picked up maybe, you know, a win and a few other points, then you're maybe in with a shout. But I think made you come up short.
I wouldn't disagree. It does feel that Edinburgh are going to have to rely on winning absolutely 2 of those remaining 3 meetings, if not all 3. And the first challenge comes along on Wednesday night. We'll talk about that later in the show. Let's have a look at your own Bandits. Also sitting on minus 2, Gary. Plenty of home meetings left. 6 home meetings, in fact, yet to stage. Again, assuming the Bandits complete all those remaining home fixtures unbeaten, the challenge then is can they pick up enough points on the road, and on the road takes them to Redcar, Glasgow and Birmingham.
The defeat to Redcar at home was a hard one to take, because the way the team is built is to make Shieldfield a fortress. And just we had some bad luck, but you know, fair play to Redcar. You know, can't take anything away from them. They kept us honest and you know, got the victory at the death. Again, I think Berwick, even if we I do think we'll win the remaining home matches. Again, key is away. Can we pick up something at Redcar? I'm not sure. I'd like to get a point. Birmingham, I'd like to think we can potentially win.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't get Glasgow on Friday and Saturday because of what I said before about the two new Danes. Because, you know, we've had this conversation. I was quietly confident they could probably come and maybe turn us over on Friday night past. But that may be an opportunity lost us. but again, I think we'll have a strong finish. We will start to climb the table. But again, my heart's telling me that we might just fall short as well.
So many permutations. It's going to be a fascinating battle and league situation to keep an eye on over the next month or so. For some, a nervy few weeks. For others, disappointment. For others, elation as we edge towards knowing which four sides will compete for the big one this season. Speedway fans out there, regardless of which team you support, how do you see this championship panning out? Please get in touch. Add your thoughts to any social media post promoting Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, or do please start your own. Gary will keep a keen eye on that in the coming weeks.
Can I just say, Derek, I would love to be proven wrong by Berwick. I would love to be proven wrong.
I'm sure you would. Yeah. I'm sure you would. Gary, some well-chronicled and much-discussed thoughts and opinions, some fairer than others, in the past couple of weeks in the aftermath of the Eastbourne versus Glasgow Championship Shield semi-final decider at Arlington Stadium. Whilst the Eagles won the on-track battle, there were some unsavoury off-track battles, largely before the meeting, which became the talking point around the Speedway fraternity, Gary. Just yesterday, the Speedway Control Board and coordinator Neil Vatcher, who was present that night, published the findings of their overall investigations into the whole episode, the result being suspensions handed out to three riders who were identified with the benefit of video evidence as being most significantly involved. Further details in a second, Gary, but I just wondered, you know, first impressions, and that's all I'm looking for. Should British Speedway be satisfied that all those involved have been dealt with appropriately?
It's a good question, a very good question. I mean, obviously, what we know about is the rider situation. And as you say, we'll come on to the three riders shortly. But from what I've seen, and I haven't seen every single clip, but what I have seen is there was more than just the riders involved. There was potentially, you know, other representatives of the club or clubs involved. Now, I'm not sure whether anything will you know, come of that. So maybe something needs to be thought about. You know, that might come later. I don't know. But just my own view is that there was a lot of people there, and I don't know who was represented by who. So it was just more of a, okay, riders are there, but there were other people there as well. What's going to happen with these people?
Yep.
More of a question.
No, that's a good point, Gary. So the suspensions handed out are 10 days for Klaus Wissing and Edward Kennett, respectively, and 12 days for Craig Cook. All suspensions commence from today. Riders' pay packets, Gary, will certainly take a hit, particularly when you take into account premiership fixtures too that these three riders would have competed in. However, the clubs in both divisions also have been impacted here, and you know, it's far from ideal at such a critical stage of the season if your team has indirectly been impacted.
Yeah. I mean, if these kind of incidents happen at any time, then I'm sure the punishments will come along pretty quickly, which has been, you know, the case. Well, I think, what was it, the 3rd of August the incident happened. So, well, I suppose that's, what, nine days until the suspension. So they need to have time to look at the evidence, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we're not going to be able to see, you know, Craig Cook, Klaus Wissing and Eddie Kennett, you know, kind of, you know, Ed Eastbourne come to Sheffield on Saturday.
Yep.
No Eddie Kennett. So who's the guest going to be? I don't know. I mean, Eddie doesn't necessarily go that great at Shieldfield, but, you know, this is, even though it's a punishment, it might turn on its head if they get a good guest for Eddie. I don't know. There's no, I'm not suggesting anything, but, you know, that's just one factor. But yes, clubs will be impacted. Supporters aren't seeing the riders they're expected to see. So, yeah, impact across the board. But then, you know, does the punishment fit the crime?
And, you know, Swindon, Kingsland and Ipswich fans in the Premiership, you know, they've been impacted by this. They're not going to see any of these three riders race for their sides until the ban is served. Our understanding, though, is that the teams are entitled to, you know, to the usual full complement of guests, Gary. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect solution. And it does add some additional question marks, I guess, to some meetings that are going to take place in the next week to 12 days from now. Interesting, and we just wanted to acknowledge it and to cover it. And Speedway fans out there, what's your own views? There's plenty of views being thrown around on social media. Why not chip in some of your own against any social media post in respect of Tapes Up? Let's move on, guys. Let's get into some of those previews then. Another relentlessly busy week ahead. First off, this Wednesday night, Edinburgh will be back in action as they visit Somerset. Earlier, we did a quick compare of the two sides in terms of their look and feel. We touched on them being similarly built at the moment, Gary. We know where they currently stand in the leagues and the playoff positions. Glasgow, of course, won at Somerset a fortnight ago. Newcastle led at the Oak Tree Arena before being overhauled just last week by the Rebels. It's an all-out, full-throttle type of place, as we know. It must be a circuit that Edinburgh have got to go and target a win, Gary.
Yeah, they have to. But again, it is a difficult place to go to win.
Isn't it easy to say target a win, but Rasmus Jensen, I spoke to him recently after Glasgow had won there, and he was pinching himself that Glasgow had actually won at Somerset because it's such a difficult place to do that.
That's right. He said, that was the case, which was interesting. But, where Edinburgh are on the table, they've just got to go out and, ride each meeting, and just give it a damn good shot to see if they can win. They need to.
Edinburgh won't take too much confidence having lost at Sheffield yesterday, but hopefully they can welcome Cam Heaps back into the side this week. I think hopefully, fingers crossed, he's due to get back aboard a bike again. The Rebels have, if anything, solidified their playoff prospects by winning at Newcastle last Sunday, a venue that the Monarchs have still to visit over the course of the next few weeks. And the Rebels will have taken strength from their performance at home, in particular, of young Anders Rowe, who scored 10 points, Gary, from the number 2 race jacket against the Diamonds last Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, Anders was, I may be proven wrong, but I think he's been in reserve
all season.
Year.
Yeah, he has been.
So
yeah.
They brought Nick Morris in, at which point he's now moved up into the number 2. Now, number 2, as we know, is a notoriously difficult position, and for him to score 10 points is just a phenomenal effort.
Absolutely, highly impressive. Nick Morris, who's recently joined the Rebels, of course, and he's formed that very strong-looking top four, hasn't, I think it's fair to say, had the best of seasons, and he hasn't entirely set the score charts alight since arriving back at Somerset. Neither he or Chris Harris, in fact, won a heat between them at home against Newcastle last Wednesday, and the Monarchs will need to exploit that, surely, Gary?
Yes, absolutely, but I suppose, how many times will you see, or will you get a second meeting where Nick Morris and Chris Harris do not win a race? I think it would be very unlikely, but there is the other factor that Nick Morris was out for quite a bit at the start of the season with Wolverhampton before he signed for Somerset. So I think Nick's playing still a little bit of catch-up. He might start to find his form, nearer the playoffs time. So if they qualify, which it looks as if they are.
Yeah, good point.
Then, Nick could be really on his game, which will make a huge difference to their effort.
Yeah, come to the party for the Rebels. Mm. James Sargent has had recent experience of Somerset. He scored 8 points there in what turned out to be his last meeting for the Tigers, and Monarchs will be delighted if he can repeat anything close to that on Wednesday.
He will, but obviously he'll be up against young Anders Rowe, certainly in heats 1 and 8. So he's going to have to really go some to do that, because I think James is riding at number 2, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Targeting an away win at Somerset with the top-end strength the Rebels now possess sounds like mission impossible. I'm not so sure, though. Monarchs management will have marked this down as a candidate away win, which, if delivered, could well push the Monarchs into league territory, which would really make the remainder of August very exciting indeed for Monarchs fans. We will examine how this worked out in next week's show. Whatever happened on Wednesday night, it will be back to home action on Friday as Eastbourne Eagles fly into Armadale Stadium. The Eagles haven't had the most successful of seasons away from their Arlington base, one of just 2 sides now yet to capture a single away point for their efforts. However, in Richard Lawson and Lewis Kerr, and a guest for Eddie Kennett, whoever that might be, they do possess, I would expect, a heat leader trio which is well capable of keeping their side in contention at Armadale, Gary?
I mean, I think with I'm not going to say the tracks are similar, but in terms of how they ride, I guess, but they're certainly similar in size, you know, the Eastbourne track and the Armadale track. So it'll be interesting to see how Eastbourne do. I don't actually think they will trouble Edinburgh too much. I think Edinburgh will be too strong at home, but hopefully it'll be a good meeting, some good racing, etc. But I do think Edinburgh will win it fairly comfortably.
There's another battle of the Tigers, two in fact, this weekend, with Glasgow and Sheffield meeting home and away. It all kicks off at Ashfield Stadium this Friday night as British number two Danny King leads his side into action against Glasgow. The mission for both clubs is exactly the same, simply to win. Glasgow to keep up the pressure on finishing that on top spot, and Sheffield if they are yet to force their way into the playoffs. Gary, Glasgow came out on top back in May in the knockout cup tie between both sides. A number of changes to each side since then, though. And now we have Glasgow, of course, being forced to use guest riders in place of Messrs Cook and Vissing this weekend, home and away. In your view, looking at Friday initially, could those changes play into the hands of Sheffield on Friday?
I think they can. I think they can because align that to what I said before about Sam Jensen not having seen Ashfield,
yep.
Mickle B. Anderson's second meeting. I think Sheffield will be going or coming up to Ashfield with a bit of confidence, and they've obviously seen the place in terms of the, you know, the KO Cup earlier on in the season. So I think following the SCB ruling, I think they'll be targeting a win.
It remains to be seen, of course, who Glasgow will book for those two heat leader spots on Friday. But I'm quite sure, Gary, I'm quite sure you're right. I'm sure Simon Stead and the Sheffield promotion will be highlighting, if it needs to be highlighted, to the Sheffield riders that they might just be landing at Ashfield at the best time this season. Gary, looking at the Sheffield side, and we've called this out a couple of times this season, it still beggars belief, to me at least, that Sheffield aren't already well positioned in the top four. They've had a disappointing season.
They have. When you look at the team, certainly even the team that they had at the start of the season, they've had these changes. And looking at it now, I mean, they are strong at home. They've had one home defeat so far, but they've only picked up 2 points on the way for away from home, which is unlike them. So, you know, if they start to pick up some away wins, there's no reason why they can't, you know, push potentially Redcar a bit. I mean, Redcar are a good side as well, but they could push them a bit for that final playoff place.
Let's touch on next Sunday. The Tigers at Glasgow, that is, make the return visit to Owlerton. Edinburgh were there yesterday and were very unlucky, as it turned out, to not to come away with at least an away point, Gary. Glasgow drew at Owlerton back in May. That was in the knockout cup. But once again, enforced changes with Cook and Vissing having to sit out this weekend entirely. Again, to be confirmed, we're talking here about a couple of riders, Sam Jensen and Mikael B. Anderson, who won't have any particular experience of Sheffield, certainly the former. And again, a horses for courses policy. Who can Glasgow line up on Sunday? I wonder if Sam Masters is available.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sam would be ideal, wouldn't he? Is that Sunday? So he might be in Poland, you know, because he rides Poland. So, but yes, I think what is key is the guests that you get. But again, I think with the two new Danes, and again, no disrespect to them at all, they're coming over here, and I'm sure they'll give their all. But you know, I think it'll be a tall order for you. I think Sheffield will win next Sunday.
In between those two fixtures, we ought to mention Glasgow have got to make the trip to Leicester on Saturday night. Stuart Dixon, Cammy Brown reacquainting themselves across the pits, this time down in Leicester. Tigers prevented the Lions from taking a point away from Ashfield last month, Gary, and Stuart Dixon will be challenging his team to do exactly the same against the Tigers on Saturday.
Yes, he will. I mean, Stuart will be looking for revenge and ensure that Glasgow don't get anything from that meeting, you know, just to balance the books, I guess.
And again, you know, Lions are unbeaten around their home circuit this season. have they looked vulnerable? Maybe not entirely vulnerable, but you know, a couple of teams have pushed them there. Edinburgh managed to pick up an away point around Leicester a month or so back, a couple of months ago maybe. Glasgow might have travelled there with Cook investing in the team and looked to try and do something similar, but too many unknowns this far out. We don't know who Glasgow are going to book on Saturday night, and it could work or it could blow up in Tiger's face, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you'd been going with Craig Cook and Clive Wissing, I mean, I think it'd been still a pretty close affair. But again, it's key. It's key to who you get. And as you say, I'm actually surprised we're sort of like talking about Glasgow potentially not getting something away from home.
Yep.
You know, but it's just with this ruling or the punishments has been, and you know, the recent signings, you know, anything can happen, as you say. It could work, but it feels as if it could be a long journey for maybe not much of a return.
It does, doesn't it? So lots of question marks over the Glasgow lineup for this weekend. Glasgow also having to transition at this stage of the season with a couple of new riders introduced. Could it yet pay dividends and reinvigorate them for the playoff action later in the season? We will pore over the outcome next week. On the back of this weekend's outcome against Glasgow, which, of course, there was no outcome. There was two washouts. Next Saturday, we'll throw up the next challenge to Berwick's late-season run-in. Those Eastbourne Eagles will fly south from the previous evening's trip to Edinburgh to tackle the wider spaces of Schofield Park. Gary, the number of remaining opportunities to win meetings is beginning to dwindle for both sides. I think Bandits still have six meetings at home, though, of course, and must start as firm favourites on Saturday.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you look at Eastbourne's away record this year, they haven't picked up anything in seven attempts. So, yeah, I think Berwick starts as overwhelming favourites on Saturday night.
And once again, Gary, that same question mark over Eastbourne's lineup this weekend. Eddie Kennett will be unavailable to them. If they could line up a Schofield track expert to wear that particular race jacket, with Lawson and Kerr, and Alfie Boutels had practised around Schofield, they might fancy their chances of earning the first point away from home. But Gary Flint, of course, will have other thoughts on that.
Well, I think in terms of the replacement for Eddie, some people look no further than Stevie Worrell, so I hope Newcastle's riding that night or something, but because Stevie's quite a popular guest. Even if they do bring in Stevie, I still think Berwick will have enough in the tank to see off Eastbourne and not some, you know, not submit a point to them either. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Gary, you're in the hot seat. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked George Martin last week, albeit in hindsight. Have Berwick been too loyal to the riders who started this season, or could an elected and well-timed team change have bolstered the playoff challenge and terracing backing?
Possibly, but I think there's so many factors that you have to consider. You know, I don't think, unless there's a cast iron one in, one out, then that's fair enough. But a lot of the time, you need to sacrifice two, maybe three riders, and that for me, I don't think is Berwick's way. And obviously, the club have a budget that they need to subscribe to, and I don't know if they have approached anybody else to come in, and you know, you just don't know what these riders are asking for either. So mm-hmm. I think there's a number of factors. Loyalty, I think what Berwick do have is they are pretty loyal to riders, mm-hmm. but they will make changes if they feel they need to. They've seen it in the past. They brought Nick Morris in two, three seasons ago when they felt they needed to have that push. But do you know something? As much as I would love to win leagues, I would love to win fours, pairs, trophies and everything like that, it'd be fantastic. But, you know, for me, if what we have on track is entertaining and we have a good season, decent season, and we're guaranteed Speedway the following season, I'm quite happy with that. But I'd like to win a trophy now and again as well. But
it does count for a lot. What you've just said counts for a lot, guys. Sometimes it feels like why should supporters have to settle for continuity of their sport? But my goodness, it'd be a huge void in our lives if we didn't even have that.
I couldn't imagine Berwick not being there. And we've come close to not running. Mm-hmm. So, you know what it's like when you have a winter of, of uncertainty. So, happy to win a trophy if we can, but I'd rather have, a team running the following season to support.
Can the Bandits then comfortably clip the Eagles' wings on Saturday night? It would be unthinkable for all associated with the club not to, given the visitors' poor away form all season long. Our score predictions here in the studio coming right up. In fact, they're not, Gary, because time's going to beat us and it's going to stop us from giving predictions this week. A quick call-out to this Thursday, in fact, another fixture. The British Under-19 final is staged at Redcar on Thursday. Good luck to Kyle Bickley, Conor Bailey and Leon Flint, who are in the rider lineup. Gary, time has beaten us. Apologies we can't do the usual fixture roundup and score predictions. Gary, we've crossed the finishing line. Good show or bad show, we'll let the listeners decide. Please be kind now, folks. Time for us to cool our jets and our tongues back in the pits. Many thanks once again for your expertise and opinion. Another busy show, Gary.
Yes, it has been. I just can't believe where the time's gone. But yes, thanks very much for inviting me back. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks too for listening. It just wouldn't be worthwhile without you. Please do take a little time to post any thoughts against any social media post promoting tonight's show. I'm off on my holidays next week. Graham Munsey will be back in the studio. Please make him feel welcome. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your Speedway. Good night.
Good night.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.